Well, welcome back to Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grilling Podcast. Merrill, you and I were chatting on the way over here about 2020. We were talking about the pandemic. We were talking about the sports show because we just left the sports show in Milwaukee.
I mean, it was terrible. We left the sports show. I'll never forget. I got home on a Sunday night.
Yep.
And we got a phone call from a friend of ours that does the same type of thing that we do, food demonstrations and things. They wanted to know, well, how's your bookings doing? I go, well, good. We haven't lost any.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I've lost all mine.
Yeah.
And as soon as I hung up,
The phone rang. Yeah.
And it rang. And this was on a Sunday night.
South Bend, Indiana. A few other ones canceled. All our home show, sports shows. And we just got back from the sports show in Milwaukee.
Right.
The Nary Home Improvement Show, of course, canceled.
Exactly.
And all heck broke loose. And I didn't feel so well for about a week and a half. But we didn't have tests back then. We didn't understand the value of what COVID was.
Right.
And how it existed and how to get tested at the time, you couldn't do it.
I don't want to say damper. I mean, it's just amazing how it just sort of paralyzed everything. I mean, we weren't ready for it.
No. And then Lori took off work, and I had off work. So I think what we did instead of, because we canceled our trip to Florida, we were supposed to go to Cocoa Beach, Florida, and do a nice taping of the television show with Fast Freddy and everything.
Yep.
And supposed to tape a couple of shows down there. We canceled the show because there's no flights. Everything was being canceled, but Lori and I went to Wisconsin Dells. We called up a hotel and they were open, and the restaurant portion wasn't, but there's plenty of restaurants around there to go eat. So Lori and I went to Wisconsin Dells, and it was a time period when everything was being hoarded.
Okay.
So it was when there was no hand sanitizers, no hand soap, there was no toilet paper. That's when all the chicken was flying off the shelves. There was nothing at the meat cases. Everybody was hoarding everything.
It was terrible.
Yeah, and so we got to Wisconsin Dells, and we were walking around, and there was no tourists except for us and a few others. So we went to a Walgreens downtown Wisconsin Dells, and we looked, and we couldn't believe there was toilet paper and hand sanitizer. And so we didn't hoard, but we bought back a few 12-packs of toilet paper for our daughter and for us. You know, about four. It
was took advantage of the situation. Tourism was definitely down in the Dells.
They're staring at us at the shelves.
Right.
And hand sanitizers and some other things. So it was kind of neat. But, you know, we all made it through. Yeah, we didn't all make it through the COVID. But we made it through feeding ourselves.
Right.
But we have an interview coming up in just a second with Patty Habeck from Feeding America. She's the president and CEO of Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin. And we have one of the first questions I want to ask her, Meryl, is how they survived the pandemic.
Well, when you look at that, I mean, and look at the increase of people that did need food and did need help. I mean, that was the whole thing that was really scary.
There was a second or two I thought I would.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
let alone people who couldn't afford it prior to.
Right. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we couldn't do any television or anything. I mean, we were able to do our television show. Plus, we did separate podcasts, or we did single shows at our house.
Oh, yeah.
Did that, too.
And we did Facebook Live. We helped out with some Facebook Live there. But
we got through it. You know, and the big thing is every conversation is, how did we do it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how we did it, but we did it. We're here.
Yep, we're here. And we're going to interview an old friend of ours. She was involved with some other things along the way that we just realized that we knew who she was.
Right.
And so we have Patty Habeck, from who is president and CEO of Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, which is the division for you folks out there, the division in central Wisconsin. I'll call it. It's Milwaukee, and they have a campus in Milwaukee, and they have a campus here in the Fox Cities area. So she'll be coming on the line just a little bit. We'll find out how they made it through the pandemic and learn about the history of what I knew it as Second Harvest turned into Feeding America. So maybe you folks now can catch up on all that. We'll be right back.
Louisiana Grills presents Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' Podcast, brought to you by Louisiana Grills and Smokers, Pit Boss Grills, America's Pork Producers, Healthy Homegrown Wisconsin Potatoes, Sundrop Soda, Awesome Shrimp and Seafood, Shooting Star Casino, and by Cherry Delight.
For those who want the best, look no further than the Founders Series by Louisiana Grills. Distinguished grilling machines designed to raise the standard of your backyard culinary experience. The Founder Series beautifully combines the legacy of pellet grilling with the technology of today. If you want the best food, then you need the best grill. The Founder Series delivers robust versatility that enhances the sophistication of grilling with products worthy of the modern outdoor chef.
Welcome to summer. You're staying active, so turn to pork to fuel the fun. It brings the balanced nutrition you need with a burst of flavor you love. So bike on, hike on, golf on, grill on. Pork's got your summer covered. 100% fresh, 100% real pork.
Cherry Delight dried cherries provide a healthy snack and taste delicious. These tasty fruit snacks provide essential nutrients and vitamins. From chocolate-covered Cherry Delights to tart cherry juice, these snacks are full of nutrition. Order online at countryovens.com.
Well, welcome back to another episode for Mad Dog and Merrill. Having a great time here today.
Yes, we are.
We just got through talking about the pandemic and how you and I survived and how we survived as grillologists.
Well, you know, you wonder, you know, when I think about it, it's like, how did we survive?
I know.
You know, I mean, when I really think about how long of a period that was and other people, how they survived, but we did. We got through it.
And you just had yourself and your wife and my partner, Lori, and I, and I can only imagine. So we have on the line with us from Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, our good friend and past friend and good friend, President and CEO of Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, Patty Habeck. Patty, thanks for joining us today, dear.
Thank you for having me.
And we have a history together that we won't get into, but we know your parents and we know you, and we've chatted before on the radio together years ago when Merrill and I were on WHBY radio. You were part of the Fox Cities in Appleton here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, we're talking about the pandemic then, and how did Feeding America, how did you get along? I mean, is it still a struggle? Is there still more needs that occurred because of it?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was really interesting. We had our eyes, back in March of 2020, we kind of had our eyes on the supply chain anyway, because ironically, right before the pandemic hit, there was some words going around that there might be some disruption in the supply chain due to some health issues of pigs on the other side of the world.
And oh, yeah.
So we were kind of keeping, there was a swine flu going around that might have allowed for culling the pigs in China and other places. So we were kind of stocking up anyway, thinking that the prices of certain things were going to go up. And then the pandemic actually came about. And so fortunately for us, we had high levels of inventory, higher than we would normally carry, just by chance. And that actually helped us address the needs in those early weeks, because what happened is as soon as the pandemic really became known, as soon as things started shutting down, the supply chain was decimated. And you remember, people were going to the grocery store and they were hoarding. Toilet paper and food and
hand sanitizers and soap.
Yeah. All of it.
Yeah.
And so we suddenly, where we often relied on donations of excess product, there was no excess product in the system.
No.
So we had to turn very, very quickly to purchasing. And that's something that, you know, we had to turn to our community and really look at our community for help with raising funds so that we could purchase the products. We were competing with the for-profit side and retailers to get access to the product. Even if we could purchase it, it was taking, instead of 2 weeks to get in, it would take us 8 weeks. So we had to order way in advance.
Yeah.
So the pandemic was a challenge, certainly in the beginning. And, you know, the other thing that we saw was the need went up exponentially.
Yes.
We saw an immediate about 200% increase in demand on products and the number of people going into the system.
Now, how do you handle something like that? I mean, I realize that all of a sudden you got this big surge. You had some, you know, for backings, but how do you handle that?
Well, there is no playbook on that. We discovered, but what I have to say is what we do well is we engage with our community, and we started talking to our community and to the philanthropists in the community and to our neighbors, and just said, you know what, you have a lot of neighbors in need. We're able to get them the food. We will purchase it. We will get it to them, but we really need help with funding. And the community stepped up in big ways. It was, it was one of those stories of seeing the best in people at a time when things were the worst. Yeah. And so I would say we got through it because our volunteers didn't abandon us. They kept coming in day in, day out. Our staff showed up every day. And then donors contributed above and beyond what they've ever given before.
And things have leveled off a little bit, or is there still an increase in needs, or has things, you know, we're talking a little past now?
You know, it's interesting. We were seeing things starting to go down, so that 200% increase I told you about kind of fell back to about 20%, 23% above pre-pandemic, and that's
right.
Kind of where things were, and then supply chain issues came into play, and then inflation started coming in. So the numbers aren't going down anymore. In fact, they're slowly starting to rise again as people's households are under pressure again, but this time from inflation and other pressures. So I would say we're in a situation where we're still seeing an elevated need. In fact, we're concerned that it'll start going up again because of the costs and the pressures on the household. But it is not like it was in the beginning of the pandemic back in March of 2020.
So now let's back up a little bit, Patty, and now let's talk about for those folks that are who maybe are not familiar with Feeding America or Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin. I knew you years ago as Second Harvest.
Right.
And then from there it expanded into Feeding America.
So that's right. We were founded back in 1982. This is our 40th anniversary year. But we were founded back in 1982 as America's Second Harvest. And what that really meant was if you think about a first harvest, you think about farmers going out in their fields and harvesting the crops. What Second Harvest actually represented was people coming in and gathering whatever is remaining and gathering that up, making sure it's just as good and healthy of a product as the first harvest, and preparing that for distribution. So that's where the name came from.
Sure.
But over the years, things have changed. We don't rely on gleaning, that is called, when you actually go out in the fields and do the second harvest. What we rely on is as a food bank, and we've since changed our name to Feeding America. It's just a name change. But what we rely on now is when manufacturers have overages, when large farmers have overages, when there's excess in the system that would typically be thrown away, we will find a way to gather that product, which is still good, healthy, fresh, nutritious product, and make that available to pantries. I'll give you an example. Years ago, 10 years ago, the retail system used to throw away all of their meat as it got close to expiration date.
Right.
And all of that, hundreds of thousands of pounds of meat, would get thrown away. Well, what we did is we went in and we talked to the retailers and said, if you flash freeze, if you deep freeze that meat a couple days before it hits its sell-by date, then we would come and pick it up as a frozen product, distribute it as a frozen product, maintain the cold chain, and all of that could be recaptured and put out into the system. And we've been doing that for 10 years, and it is one of the largest distributions that we do of good, healthy proteins.
It's amazing. So in the United States, Feeding America has several campuses. How many campuses, I'm going to say because you're president and CEO, how many campuses are you in charge of?
So across the nation, there are 200 Feeding America food banks. They
right.
all go by different names, and everyone is independent. So we are, my organization, Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, is independent of our national office.
Okay.
But we partner with our national office so that we can maximize resources.
Sure.
I have two campuses, one in Milwaukee and one in Fox Valley. We're the largest hunger relief organization in the state of Wisconsin, and we serve about 500,000 people through about 400 food pantries, meal programs, and emergency shelters.
And it's amazing how, you know, statistically when you start reading, because people, you know, there's too many foodies out there in this world that don't understand the value of a meal not in front of your table. I find it so amazing that in my community, your community, Merrill's, and our business partner Rod's, and everybody's community, there one out of eight people don't know possibly where their next meal comes from.
Yes, the numbers are staggering, and often that hunger is hidden, because what we see is many, many people that we serve are actually working. They are working one or maybe two jobs, and with costs, particularly healthcare or transportation.
Utilities.
all of that.
Yep.
The costs are so high, they just can't quite close the gap in their household to purchase food. So very often we are just stepping in there and helping, you know, not 100%. We're not providing 100% to any person, but we're just helping close that gap so that everybody has enough food on their table to be healthy.
What is the procedure that a client has to go through to get the food from Feeding America?
So generally, we work through that food pantry system. So what we do is if a person is in need, they may contact us, and we help them find their nearest pantry who they could access food from right in their community, so they don't have to travel too far. There are times that we do direct service to individuals, but that very often is going out to communities that might not have a pantry or who need a larger distribution. But for the most part, we just help people connect to their pantry system, and then we support the pantries. When we do that, then we know that every person, no matter what neighborhood or community they're in, is connected to something that is close to them, a pantry that is very close to them. So it takes that pressure off of transportation.
And what we found amazing, that the campuses we visited, both Milwaukee now because of the television taping and because of the Appleton one, that we did the public service announcement at the PSA at, that food gets rotated. I mean, there were stockpiles and stock. We were in front of, I'm going to guesstimate, 6,000 pounds of Wisconsin potatoes that were just donated that day. And by the time we left, apparently those potatoes are someplace else. You know, I find that amazing.
Yes. So the scope of what we do is quite extraordinary. We distribute more than 53 million pounds annually. So if you think about that, you know, we're really looking at, we distribute more than 150,000 or around 150,000 pounds of food every single day.
Every day.
You know, we try to give our staff off on Sundays, but you know, 150,000 plus pounds of food going out. Now, if you think about that, about 25,000 pounds fit in a semi. So, you know, we're moving about 9 truckloads every single day to communities across eastern Wisconsin, whether that is in the Northwoods or in the urban areas of southeast Wisconsin, out to central Wisconsin, to the tribal lands, wherever the food need is. And we monitor where that need is greatest, and we make sure we're getting food out there.
And it sounds, you know, and to the people that are listening now, it sounds, oh, they got enough food. Look at all that food they're donating. It's a massive amount, but there's massive amount of people that need help every day.
Right. So what we always say is food is consumable. Food is not a product that will sit around. So we get it in, we move it out, somebody eats it, and tomorrow they need another meal. And so it is not a product that when you say you see a lot in our facilities, that turns over very, very quickly, and we need more. And the pressure right now on me, the thing that's keeping me awake right now, is we are buying more food than we've ever had to purchase ever in the past, because the donation streams of food have fallen apart. And so while we still get donations, we have to purchase a lot of food. And that purchasing, we try to purchase from local Wisconsin farmers or manufacturers or retailers as much as possible. And we need to spend more than we ever have because of the massive amounts of inflation. And so what I say to people is, yes, I love when I see our warehouses full of food. I know that if we don't keep it up, that will be gone in a couple of days, and we need to replace that. 500,000 people in eastern Wisconsin rely on the work that we do in these two warehouses. That's just an extraordinary number, and we always need help from our neighborhoods.
And it's amazing, and you know, it's a feedingamericawi.org, feedingamericawi.org, and I find it amazing, Patty, and I do the math. It's $1 can provide 4 meals for your neighbor in need.
Right. So we use our scale in every which way we can to get that number as high as possible. 97 cents of every donation that's made will go right back into programs, not into overhead or any of those things. So we run an incredibly efficient organization. Another way to think about it is $1 is donated to us, we can get about $10 worth of groceries. That's why we encourage financial donations more than food donations.
Right.
So that's, yeah, it's due to the generosity of again, our manufacturers and our community that we can purchase and have that scale.
So Merrill has diabetes, and there's a lot of folks out there with medical needs and medical issues that need or ethnically
right.
you help out, and you've got a little system going as far as that goes now.
Right. So we first of all, we made sure that fresh produce, the healthy food, is our number one product that we're putting out into the community, with proteins and dairy being right behind that. So
sure.
We're trying very, very hard to work on that nutritional component. But we have diabetic boxes we support diabetic-friendly food pantries to make sure that people with special dietary needs have access to that. We also run programs where there is a specialty need for ethnic appropriate foods. We try to do that. Now, some people say, does it matter? You know, and I always say, yes, it actually does. Food is more than just the calories one consumes. It's the connection to history, and it's the stability in your household, and there's stories and there's generations that are all attached through food. So when you provide something that people recognize, that they feel comfortable with, their stress levels go down, and they're much more likely to be able to get back on their feet when they're in a situation where they're struggling.
Wow, very, very good point there. Just something that you don't even think of, really.
Yeah.
There's, hunger relief is sometimes easy when you think about it. It's providing food to those in need. But it's actually a pretty complicated endeavor, and our team, our staff, our volunteers, our board, and our communities are really good at making sure that people have what they need when they need it. And, we're all just very committed to making sure everyone has the food that they need, especially those little ones who are learning or those seniors that are struggling. We want to make sure they all have that healthy food.
So so corporations in general can help out, because corporations are large, and that's who you called upon during the pandemic and in everyday life. They do fundraisers, they do food bin drives, corporations do, right?
Right. So I would say our Wisconsin corporations have a huge sense of corporate responsibility or connection to their community. And whether it's our nonprofit or the food pantries, the corporations really do step out in wonderful ways to make sure that that there's support. So between what the corporations provide, with the individual donor, and I always say that $5 gift I get from somebody who that's a huge contribution out of their household is as meaningful as a contribution that I get that might be much more from a corporation.
Right.
It takes all of us to gather around it to say, hunger is not okay, and we're all going to make sure that people have enough.
Exactly. And then civil organizations, Rotarians, Lions, whoever they may be, they're the ones that, as a rule, would come in. And I find it amazing that you have two shifts, at least in the Appleton, there's two shifts of volunteers, 20 in each shift, as a rule, each day, times 5 days, that's 200 volunteers a week. And so those civic organizations can step up and say, hey, we'll get a group together and help volunteer X amount of times a month.
Absolutely. Our volunteers are as important to us as our financial or our food donors. If we didn't have our volunteers, we couldn't move the food out the door. And you're right on those numbers. During the pandemic, we had to limit our shifts to 20. But as the pandemic starts to subside, we're able to carry over 100 in each of those shifts.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
So, yeah, so absolutely, if you are part of a civic organization, if you're an individual, a family unit, or part of a company, go to our website and look at our volunteer opportunities, and please do sign up. I'm a Rotarian as well, and I absolutely enjoy working with our civic groups. They are so committed and so passionate about helping communities. So we welcome volunteers, and that work is as important to us as the financial and the food donors.
You know, I you know, as I read and as I look and as I see different, we're good friends with Native American Tourism Wisconsin, NATAL, and they have a lot of, they do aquaponics. They have aquaponics in school, and it's just amazing how much of that food goes back to the community, the lettuce and stuff to feed fresh every week. And I was reading a little article here in the Appleton area that there's a place that used to be a golf course, and now it's called, what's it called, Riverview?
Riverview Gardens. Yeah.
Riverview Gardens, and what an amazing little thing that they do.
So Riverview Gardens is very unique and very special in what it is that they do use. They use workforce development programs to help them learn skills. They invite these workforce programs in, and then they teach them how to garden and how to farm and how to prepare food and how to work in our hospitality areas. And so we partner with Riverview Gardens to grow greens, and we get a lot of leafy greens, a lot of specialty herbs that we bring in and then move out to the community very quickly. So it's an amazing partnership between a hydroponics entity that's helping people get back on their feet through workforce, and then we're helping people get back on their feet through by providing that food. So it's an end-to-end relationship, and we enjoy partnering with them.
Yeah. Is it those folks too? I was reading also something about somebody, it should be Meryl and I, but we're getting kind of like, we're just helping out with our public service here. But aren't there groups, is it that same group that's grilling meals and freezing them and then supplying the community?
Sure, they have, Riverview has a program that helps train. They take youth that maybe need some direction, and they help those youth learn cooking skills. And then they take what they cooked and they package up meals, and they make sure the meals get out as well. So, you know, there's a lot of people working in this space of making sure that people have access to healthy and good food. And Riverview is just another partner and friend. There's other hydroponics that we work with. In Milwaukee, we work with a place called 100 Acres right in Central City, and we work with Fork Farms with their Flex Farms. And so there's a number of different ways that we're looking to really contain that hydroponics. And then we also do a lot of work with our local small farmers. We make sure we contract and purchase through our local small farmers, so we're supporting our local small farmers as well. So a lot of work done to make sure that produce is the number one thing that the food system is putting out, the hunger relief system is putting out.
It's amazing. So Feeding America for the future, or do you have any other plans that you can let us know, and we can be the first ones to let it out of the let the frozen food out of the bag?
Well, there's a number of different initiatives that we're doing, many that are just kind of coming back up after, for example, just before the pandemic, we were working with some frozen food manufacturers in the state of Wisconsin. They have extra product that they were throwing away, and we wanted to use that to capture that. They were freezing corn on the cob, and they were throwing away about 400,000 pounds annually of corn on the cob that was perfectly good.
Yeah.
So we were working with them. We have a clean room up in the Fox Valley where we can use volunteers to package up that product and get that in the system, so we don't, our landfills aren't full of product that could have been used before it went bad, could have been used, and then B, making sure that every piece of food that is grown in Wisconsin, if it's healthy and in code and all set, then we make sure that we can get it out to those in need.
Sure. One couple last little things here. You know, there's no organization, and nobody will ever know about the clean room and sorting Fruit Loops into 2-pound bags unless they volunteer.
you don't know. You haven't seen anything until you stand next to a 6-foot commercial cone of cereal.
Yes.
That we break down into these little bags of cereal to go out. That's something everybody loves to have their photo taken next to these huge 6-plus-foot cones of cereal.
Yeah, exactly. So, Patty, so you and your significant other, your husband, you love to grill?
Mm-hmm. We love to grill, yes.
Yeah, and what's your grill of choice? Not name brand, but is it gas, charcoal, pellet, Komodo?
Well, I'm sorry to say that we have gone with with gas grilling, we moved away from charcoal just because of time. At the end of the day, gas is the fastest way to get our food done. So that's one we use most often.
Yeah. And your favorite meal to do on the grill, if you had your choice to watch him cook?
Well, it would be chicken thighs for sure when they get all bubbly and caramely from the Mad Dog and Merrill barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Sitting right on top of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Good for you. Well, I'm going to give the website out here of feedingamericawi.org, feedingamericawi.org. And I'll say one more time, I find it amazing. Is it the Better Business Bureau that gives the ratings or something?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it 97%?
97 cents of every donation. So 97% you can also say of every donation absolutely goes right back into our program.
Yeah, and that's phenomenal. It's amazing. We do appreciate everything that Feeding America does and Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin does, and you, Patty, and Tony and Jessica and Louise.
The whole team.
Leslie, we met in Appleton campus. Leslie?
Yes, Leslie. Our team, those are some of our leaders of our team and the ones that work very much with our external community. So your listeners, if they come in and volunteer, would likely meet Tony and Jessica and Leslie and others.
There was so many personalities in that warehouse working, and they all seemed happy as hell.
Yeah, we have a good crew. We have an amazing staff, and once they're here, they are here for the mission. We do employee evaluations. That's the number one thing we get all the time. If you work with us, it's all about mission for our team.
Yeah, and you can tell by the smiles. There was one young lady there that was some new volunteers coming through, and she was showing the ropes of how to pull the string down to open up the freezer door. And man, she was so animated and having a great time that it made me want to almost apply for a job.
We'll take you anytime.
I bet. Well, Patty, thank you for spending time with us and feedingamericawi.org. For you folks out there to please help out in any way you can, whether you're a corporation, a civic organization, or an individual to donate money. Patty, thank you so much, and you say hi to your family and friends from us.
Thank you. It was nice talking with you guys.
Nice talking with you here. Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Ask your grocer for the sweet, thick, rich flavor of Mad Dog and Merrill's award-winning sauces, seasonings, accessories, and so much more. Or visit maddogandmerrill.com and go to the online store.
Ask your grocer for Mad Dog and Merrill.
Calling kids of all ages. Visit the world's largest Sundrop University Museum.
Tour the old streets of Sean.
Watch a movie on the history of Sundrop.
Watch Sundrop being bottled.
Belly up to the tasting room.
Visit the gift shop.
Drink local, be happy.
Twigsbeverage.net.
The deep waters of Argentina hosts a colony of all-natural, sushi-grade, royal red colossal shrimp. So tender and flavorful, there's only one word to describe it.
Awesome!
Fast Freddy here with my buddy Rebel from
Awesome Shrimp!
If you want that same awesome shrimp that Mad Dog and Merrill grill on the show, check out awesomeshrimp.com.
Order online or find a market near you. Awesome shrimp and seafood!
Hey, our name says it all.
Did you know 1 out of 8 of your neighbors face hunger every day?
We're Mad Dog and Merrill, ambassadors to Feeding America. Just $1 donated provides 4 meals to your neighbors in need.
Go to feedingamerica.org.
So it's amazing. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how many people and how much food product goes through their campuses each and every day.
I know. I mean, you see how the whole procedure is done, and you're like, you were right about how everybody's so happy that works there. They enjoy working there. The communication is just unbelievable. It really is.
And the when we were at the Appleton campus, the volunteers were sorting Fruit Loops in 2 pound bags, and it was just a huge amount of Fruit Loops cereal, in bulk. It was all in bulk. It wasn't in boxes.
Right,
They were putting into 2 pound bags, I guess, my understanding.
And how things were set up, I mean, even for the Fruit Loops, that was in a closed area.
They call it the clean room.
You know, glass all around it.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. The place is just spick and span. It's just unbelievable.
Well, it's amazing how many people and listening out there to this podcast, you're foodies in general. Everyone seems to want to be a jump aboard the word foodies. And it's nice to be able to afford steaks, and it's nice to be able to afford briskets, and it's good to afford bratwurst and good old-fashioned fresh vegetables. But there's folks out there that can't. There's your neighbors out there. One in eight of your neighbors is in need. Because they have to, they're still working probably, but they have to pay their utilities, they have to pay their children's bills, they have to pay medical bills, they have to pay for insurance and everything else, and so they have needs out there. So if you folks could help out, we would appreciate it as ambassadors to Feeding America this year that we are through our public service announcements, and this is one of them. And I wanted to bring it up to Patty, and I forgot because We almost had the same slogan this year as they did. Their slogan this year is 40 and forward, and only Mad Dog and Merrill's is 40 and backwards, because we've been in business 40 years as Mad Dog and Merrill, and thank God Feeding America is going forward after 40 years. They're honoring their past and inspiring their future. So and so are we, by the way. We're just in the role of things with the television show. We do invite you to go to, once again, feedingamericawi.org or feedingamerica.org, depending on where you're living right now, if you're not in Wisconsin. But you're also invited to go to maddogandmerrill.com to learn more about us in general. Well, until next time, until the next episode.
You got it, sir.
Peace, love, and happy grilling, folks.
Happy grilling, everybody.